So my introduction to the sermon this morning is based on the song that we just sang, Only a Sinner. The hymn was composed by James M. Gray in 1905. It's been around for a little while. And it is a wonderful song about our salvation from being a sinner by the marvelous grace of God. Some great theology in this hymn, something that's really missing from a lot of modern songs these days. The Gaither Vocal Band also sing a song called A Sinner Saved by Grace. They recorded it in 2012. It's different than what the hymn is, but kind of along the same lines of being only a sinner saved by grace. One of the lines in the Gaither song is, I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. It certainly is a fundamental thing to acknowledge that a believer in Jesus Christ has been saved by God's grace. And while we don't hear much in the song about this, we must also acknowledge the important place of faith, belief, and trust in the transaction of our salvation. Jesus died on the cross. He has saved us from our sins, but that transaction requires our faith, belief, and trust in Him, right, and what He has done, the gospel message. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10 says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm going to pause just for a moment and give you some explanation here. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That's the bottom line, right? We are saved by God's grace, but through our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And then he says, and that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There are many who say that the word that and it refer to faith. Faith is the gift of God, is what we are told in many places, or at least among many pastors, theologians, and Bible teachers. However, that is not so. The word faith in the Greek text is a feminine gender term. Feminine gender term. And the word that and it are, in the Greek text, neuter gender terms. So it's the same that we have in English as with Greek. The two have to agree in case, number, and gender, and they don't. So with the neuter gender of that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That refers to the whole transaction of salvation by grace through faith in Christ. That is the gift of God that is given to us because of our faith and trust in Him. So if somebody wants to tell you that we are saved through faith, and faith is the gift of God, you can tell them, no, that's not true. The genders do not relate to each other. It is the gift of God refers to the whole thing, salvation by grace through faith. So that's just to give you a bit of an explanation here. Also in John 3:16, we read, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So in those two passages, the issues, the important issues are faith and belief in the Lord Jesus. And I'll give you one more, John 1, 12 to 13. But as many as received him, that is Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. These are significant and important verses that I think we should all have in our memory. We should be able to refer to them quickly at any time. They instruct us that Christ died in our place for our sins, but that for that sacrifice to mean anything to us, we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must receive him into our hearts by faith. Then we can say we are saved by the grace of God. And so we rejoice, don't we? We should rejoice and give thanks to God for our salvation by grace through faith, trust, and belief in the Lord Jesus. And it's all about what God has done in our lives, what Christ has done for us through the cross, his burial, and his resurrection on the third day. But back to the song. I have a concern. It might be minimal. It doesn't take away from the fact that we are saved by God's grace. But the concern I have is with the word only and just. Are we as Christians only sinners saved by grace? It's what the hymn says, only a sinner saved by grace. Gaither Vocalman, I am nothing but a sinner saved by grace. Is that what we are? Are we only or are we just sinners saved by grace? Or is there something more that we are in Christ? I'd like to take some time this morning to have you think with me about what we are in Christ. The Bible tells us that we are more than just a sinner saved by grace. In fact, we are so much more. So it's important that we recognize that we are more than just a sinner saved by grace. It will help us to help to give us strength and steadfastness and edify our spiritual lives, especially given the days we are now living in, with so much error out there being preached and taught and so much sin and ungodliness in the world. We need to be reminded that we really are more than just a sinner saved by grace. So here's a few things. I only got three this morning out of many that we could pull up, but just three this morning. Number one, we are sons and daughters of God, children of God. We are born again. We have a new birth when we put our faith and trust in Christ. We are new creatures, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And a new creature is something brand new, never before has existed. So we are sons of God. We are daughters of God, children of God, when we trust Christ as our Savior. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 says this, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him," in Christ, "purifieth himself, even as he," Christ, "is pure." So John, explaining to the folks that he's writing to, refers to the believer in Christ as sons of God. And in sons, we also include daughters as well. To me, that's being a little bit more than simply saved by God's grace. We're not just sinners saved by grace. We are sons and daughters of Almighty God, children of the Creator, the Heavenly Father. In John 1, verse 12, we read this earlier, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So much more than just being a sinner saved by God's grace. We are sons and daughters of Almighty God. So as believers in Christ, we are part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Are you? We have brothers and sisters in Christ, not just here in this room, but perhaps around the city, perhaps around the world. Stroud Lusk's over in the Philippines are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're part of a great family, the family of God, with all the rights, the privileges, the blessings, and the responsibilities that come along with that position. And of course, as sons and daughters of God, we ought to bear the family resemblance, don't you think? We ought to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. People ought to see in us what they see in us. They ought to see the Lord Jesus first and foremost. We have a Christ in our hearts by faith, and so we ought to be Christ-like in our living and in our lifestyle. So we are children of God. I needed the S with sons to keep my alliteration this morning. But sons and daughters of Almighty God. That's a very special position that we have. Number two, we are also called saints. Saints. Now, maybe you question that in some people's situations. Are they really saints? Yeah, a believer in Christ is a saint in the eyes of God. Biblically, every Christian, everyone who has put their faith and trust in Christ is a saint. You don't have to wait until you die and have some committee here on earth vote to make you a saint. You don't have to do some kind of miracle to be recognized by a certain denomination as a saint. No, the Bible calls all believers in Christ saints. That's the title that we have and the result of what God has done in our lives. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 3 says this. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This greeting is typical of the Apostle Paul, who calls all in the churches to whom he writes saints. See it? You can see it in just about all of his letters in the introduction. If we take a closer look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, which says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, I think in our Bibles the to be is in italics, right? Is that what you have? Called to be is in italics, saints. So if you just read it through the Greek text, we are called saints. Called as an adjective, modifying the word saints. That's not a big issue here. But sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So Paul uses the term, first of all, sanctified, right? To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Here's your Greek grammar lesson for the morning. The word sanctified is a perfect passive participle. Perfect tense in the Greek means completed action. Passive voice means that the subject is acted upon by something outside of itself. And so the perfect tense means that when we have been sanctified, that has been completed, it's done, and the results abide right up until the present time. And it's not us who have sanctified ourselves, but it is God who has sanctified us. That's what the passive voice means. It's been done to us. And for that, we give him thanks and praise. It's a translation from the verb hagiadzo, which means to purify, to cleanse, to make holy, to separate from profane things and be dedicated to God. We are sanctified. And the word sanctified is also related to the word saint. One is a verb, one is a noun. So we are sanctified perfectly, completely, done and abiding in our lives since we put our faith and trust in Christ. So this sanctification that Paul writes about to the Corinthian church would have begun when we first trusted Christ as our Savior. Put your faith and trust in Christ, you immediately are sanctified by God the Father, set apart, separated from the world, from sin, unto himself and to the Lord Jesus. There are, in fact, three phases to sanctification that we can see in the Scriptures. I won't take too much time here. We talked about this on occasion before. But I'll give you the main points. Number one, we talk about positional sanctification. Positional sanctification. That is, we are in Christ, we have been sanctified. That is our position before God. He sees us as fully set apart unto himself. Now, we often would like to think that our daily practical physical selves would match that position. Unfortunately, we don't. So the second phase of sanctification we call progressive sanctification. This begins when we first trust Christ as Savior and will continue at work until we die physically and get home to glory. Progressive sanctification, that is, our daily life is becoming more and more like Christ's. We are being set apart more and more as we continually live out our lives by faith. We, from where we are or were when we were saved, should be growing, increasing in our faith and God's grace and our knowledge of the Lord. And sometimes we would like to think that from the moment we're saved till we get to that perfect position in glory, it would just be a straight line. But it very often isn't. We still live on this earth in unredeemed bodies that are susceptible to the temptations of the flesh, of sin, the devil all around us. And there are times when we as believers succumb to the temptation and sin. And so we see this part of sanctification as a very important part to help us to grow in Christlikeness and in God's grace. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, relates to this phase when it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And we've said it before, that verse is not telling us to work for salvation, but to work out the salvation that we have by grace through faith in Christ. To work it out so that we become more and more holy, more and more set apart, more like the Lord Jesus, the longer that we work for him. We've often said as well that Christians are not sinless people, but Christians are the kind of people who should sin less the longer that we walk with the Lord. God gives us everything that we need at the moment of our salvation to build a perfect life of holiness, godliness, and righteousness. But because we're still in these unredeemed bodies of flesh, we need to work at working out our salvation day by day, moment by moment. We don't get our redeemed bodies until the day of resurrection, which for us in the church, it will be at the rapture of the church. When the dead in Christ arise, we who are alive and remain will be caught up. And according to 1 Corinthians 15, we will be changed, right? In the twinkling of an eye. And our mortal flesh will become immortal. And we will rise to meet the Lord in the clouds of the air. So while we would endeavor and hope, maybe try to make our sanctified life, this progressive sanctification, a straight line from when we trust Christ to perfection, it usually ends up like this, right? I've mentioned before, I have a book on my shelf called Three Steps Forward and Two Steps Back. But in the math of that, you still got one step that is ahead. And that's good. We're all different. We all grow at different rates. There are things that you struggle with that maybe I don't, and things that maybe I struggle with that you don't. But all of us together, as we trust Christ, seeking to grow into a Christ-likeness, will have that kind of up and down. Fortunately, the longer that we walk with the Lord, we would hope that the line would smooth out a little bit more as we get closer to getting home. So let us endeavor to make as much progress as we can in this life now. Let us draw ever closer to God. Let us keep short accounts with God. When we do find that we have sinned, we have done something that is opposed to God's will. 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That was written to believers by the Apostle John. So as Christians, if and when we find that we have done something wrong before the Lord, immediately confess that to the Lord. The word confess is the Greek word homologeo. It means to say the same thing. And so we don't try to pull the wool over God's eyes. We don't try to, manipulate the situation so that it doesn't seem as bad what we've done. No, we go to God and confess that sin. Say the same thing that he has concerning that which we have done wrong. And in that confession, we will find forgiveness and cleansing. Let us live set-apart lives to the glory of God. That's why we have been sanctified. And then in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul uses the word saints. Saints. In fact, we are called saints. Called as not naming us as saints, but an adjective. We have been called by God to be saints. 1 Corinthians 1:2. This means that we do not take the name saint unto ourselves by ourselves, but God has called us to be saints. Even the Corinthians were called saints, and they had a multitude of problems and sin in their church that Paul was dealing with, and sin among their members that he had to write about, but he still called them saints. Because everyone who puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are sanctified. We are saints before Almighty God. Our task is to make sure that our lives measure up to what being a saint really is all about. So we have been sanctified, not just a sinner saved by grace. We are saints. We are sanctified in the presence of Almighty God sanctified from the moment that we trusted Christ as our Savior and have been given the title saint before God. Y'all are saints. You ever thought about that? Really? What that means for us in our lives? Oh, and the third phase of sanctification is prospective sanctification. Prospective sanctification. That is, when we get to glory and we are in heaven with the Lord Jesus, we will be fully sanctified, soul, spirit, and body, no more bothered by sin, but fully perfected for eternity, fully set apart unto God in his very presence. That's something that we look forward to in this day and age. So we are sons and daughters of Almighty God. Secondly, we are saints. We are sanctified by God. Thirdly, and lastly, we are servants of God. Not just a sinner saved by grace, but we are servants of God. And as we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again, specifically, we are ambassadors for Christ. Every believer in the Lord Jesus is a servant and specifically an ambassador for Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 to 20, again, we read, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us," the apostle, referring to all believers, "committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." The word ambassador is presbuo. It's related to presbyteros, which is translated as elder in the New Testament. Presbuo means an elder, but not just an older person, but someone who has some measure of authority and responsibility. Wikipedia defines ambassador as, "An ambassador is an official envoy, especially a high-ranking diplomat, who represents a state and is usually accredited to another sovereign state or to an international organization as the resident representative of their own government or sovereign, or appointed for a special and often temporary diplomatic assignment." Basically, an ambassador has the full responsibility and authority coming to him from either a government or, you know, a president or a king, for example, to represent that government or king in another place. So when the ambassador goes into a foreign country, he's representing the whole government of the nation that he has come from. So there is privilege, there's responsibility. An ambassador has to be sure that he acts in accordance with the country that he is representing, but he has all of that authority as well. Do you understand the significant position that we have in this world? Because we are ambassadors for Christ. Not just for any earthly government, but we're ambassadors for Christ. We're representatives of the Lord Jesus in a foreign land, which is this world, right? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Heaven is where our citizenship is. So while we are here, we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his representatives in this world. We are to faithfully carry out the ministry of reconciliation, as Paul has said here in the first few verses. We are to urge people to be reconciled to God. basically what he's talking about here is giving out the gospel message to the world all around us, telling others about the Lord Jesus and what he has done. What an honor and a privilege we have as believers in Christ. We also bear great responsibility as well for the message that we give, that it represents the Lord Jesus properly and truthfully, and so we need to be careful how we talk about our Savior. We have a duty. An ambassador has a duty to tell others about Christ, who he is, what he has done, and how to be reconciled to him. And keep in mind that for our message to be credible, we also need to live out what we tell others to do, right? Practice what you preach, in other words. Our lives should measure up to the same quality and standard as we are encouraging other people to do in trusting Christ. So, are we just or only sinners saved by grace? Are we nothing but a sinner saved by grace? Well, yes, we are sinners saved by God's grace through our faith in Jesus Christ, but we are so much more than that. I understand the songwriter and the hymn writer and the fellows who sing the song, what they're trying to communicate is being saved by God's grace and how wonderful that is. But it's not just, and it's not only. We are so much more. We have so much more than that in Christ. We only considered three things that we are in Christ. There are many more, and I encourage you to search the scriptures yourselves and find out some other things. I went online and asked, what are we in Christ? What kind of things are we in Christ? And I got tons of responses, or at least hits on this thing. And one fellow had listed all the things that we are in Christ. And there had to be a list of 20, 25 things. And then that was what we are in Christ. What we have in Christ was another long list as well. So we've considered three this morning. I trust that will be an encouragement for us maybe to dig a little deeper into the scriptures and find out what other things are. We are sons and daughters of Almighty God. We are saints. And don't take pride in that. It's not something that is a pride or a pride situation. It's the truth, and we recognize it, and the reality is that we want to live it out. And we then are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great responsibility and privilege we have as that. So praise the Lord that he has made us such, and let us be the best that we can be for him today, as his children, as his servants, as ambassadors, as sanctified, as saints. May the Lord be pleased with us in these days. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us and for the opportunity to dig into your word this morning. We thank you for the great truths that we find there in what we are in Christ. And we thank you for the three things we've looked at this morning. I trust that they will be an encouragement, that you would encourage each one of us to dig a little deeper into the word, to find some other things that we are in Christ, and that you would help us then to live out those things the best that we can with the help of the Spirit of God, with your grace, which strengthens us at all times, so that others can see Christ in us and be willing to ask about the differences in our lives, and help us to be ready with that answer concerning the hope that we have. Bless your word to our hearts this morning. May we be encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.